Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Cheltenham Anti-Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the Racing Post studios by James Hill. We've also got top tipster Paul Keighley on the line, as well as Darren Hughes from Paddy Power. This week, the two races we're going to be previewing Anti-Post are the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle and the Champion Bumper. Two really nice races for up-and-coming horses that hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more of in the coming years. Could be some superstars within them. We'll kick off with the Albert Bartlett then. A really, really tough race that's been won by some really tough horses in recent years. Darren, just kick us off with the betting.
Sure thing, Maddie. Yeah, so Battle Over Doyen is our 5-1 favourite. Birchdale then is 6-1. Commander Fleet is 6-1. Lisnager Oscar is 7-1. Carefully Selected is 8-1. Dicky Diver, Relegate and Rhinestone are all 10s and we are 12s bar.
Okay, to start off with, Battle Over Doyen, where do you think he's going to end up? Is he going to go for this race?
I would be a little bit surprised if he did, to be honest with you. He doesn't look slow, Maddie. I'd say the Ballymore would be more his bag than this. Like, this is a very grueling test. Like, I did a bit of research last night and past winners don't generally go on to better things. Like, there are some exceptions, but of the last 10 winners, they only went on to win 21 races between them after they won the Albert Bartlett. And if you take out Nicky Henderson's horse, and you know what I mean, Harry, that goes down to 10 races between 8 horses. So, I mean, it really does have a long-lasting effect. Battle Over Doyen, anyone that's watching this year would tell you, he's a big baby at the moment. And a grueling race like the Albert Bartlett, for me, just wouldn't be up his street.
Mm. Yeah, it's been quite a while since a favourite's won it, I think. Lots of big prizes in recent years, Keels. So hopefully you'll be able to find us a big chance. First off then, if we sort of miss Battle Over Doyen for now, he, we presume, is going to go for the Ballymore. Birchdale is our next port of call, and we've got a good sort of indication of how good he is-ish based on his run at Cheltenham last time.
I mean, yeah, that was a good run. I mean, I think Brewing Up a Storm probably would have beaten him. I'm not 100% certain either way. But, there wouldn't have been much more than a length between them either way, would there? So, I mean, I think you can put a level on it. But, I mean, you couldn't find a horse with a worse profile than this race in Birchdale, couldn't you? I mean, he's run three times in his life. He's won one point and two hurdle races. You have a look at the history of this race. There hasn't been a single horse that has run less than five times that has won it. Only two have run as few times as five. I mean, I'm including points as well as bumpers. It's just this is a race that needs race course experience. And what you tend to get in this race is a lot of horses that are, you know, they're basically just clueless future 3 mile chasers, aren't they? And they're just not conditioned for this sort of contest. And year in, year out, you get a short price favourite with a sexy profile, gets beat. It was Santini last year. If he ends up being favourite, it will be Birchdale this year, and he won't win.
Okay, so Kills is quite confident it won't be Birchdale. Jimmy, are you quite so negative on him?
Pretty much about the same, really. He's not for me for this race. Nice prospect for the future, but as Kills was saying, he's probably too inexperienced. He looks quite inexperienced as well. He still looks a bit green and babyish. When he jumps a fence in future, I'm sure then we'll see the best of him. But this sort of race really wouldn't suit him, I don't think, at this stage, because, I mean, particularly when the ground gets a bit soft, it turns into a real slog. You need to stay, and I think you need something a bit more battle-hardened as well.
Yeah, I mean, Keels has touched on, he thinks Brewing Up a Storm would have beaten him last time. I'd agree with that. And even then, I just didn't really like the way he was going about it. I sort of thought he travelled into the race okay and expected...
Didn't storm up the hill,
yeah,
did he?
Yeah, I expected I know he didn't have any company, a bit more impressive in the finish. Darren, any thoughts on Birchdale before we move on to some of the Irish Brigade, which I'm sure you'll prefer?
Yeah, I'll just echo what the lad said there. I mean, like, I was watching the in-running betting that day, and I think the exchange had Brewing Up a Storm at, like, fives on, jumping the last, so the market certainly thought he was going to win. Birchdale didn't do a whole pie wrong that day, but no, this wouldn't be for him as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so Birchdale's gone. We've sorted him out. We'll move on to Commander of Fleet, then. Impressive in a Group 1 last time at the Dublin Racing Festival. This horse, they've always thought a fair amount of him, and it seems like this might be his trip. Darren, would you agree?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this lad. He's a big tank of a horse already. He looks like he's fully grown into his frame. As of now, he's a big lad. I think he'd relish the distance of this. And his run at Leopardstown over Christmas was all about staying. I mean, they set sail for home very, very early, considering there was a couple of hurdles taken out, and it was just a matter of who was going to grind it out. He jumps fine. His bumper form is very, very strong, and I'd be a fan of him.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy, any thoughts on Commander of Fleet?
I like him. He's going to make a smashing chaser, I think, in future. I wouldn't be absolutely 100% certain about him staying because he's obviously got a bit of speed. I mean, they ran him in the Royal Bond earlier in the season, so they obviously think he's a bit pacey. There's nothing really in his pedigree that suggests he's an out-and-out three-miler at this stage. He did have to stay 2 miles six to win that race at Leopardstown, as Darren was saying. They were going for home from a long way out.
Yeah.
I think that's good form, that. So, I mean, he's certain to be at the top of the market for this. I just think that there are others who have a kind of more battle-hardened profile that will get better, longer trips in time.
Yeah, Keels, obviously the form ties in with Relegate and Rhinestone behind him. Commander of Fleet, is he the top of the Irish?
I think you have to say he's one of them for sure, because that was definitely a very, very good run. He would have had the absolute minimum number of runs for me. He has had five, if you include his points and his bumper. And he will have learnt an awful lot there as well, because he did battle with Rhinestone from a fair way out. I mean, I don't think you can argue with the form. If you like him, you almost have to like Rhinestone as well. I mean, I think both will stay. I don't see any reason why Commander of Fleet won't. He's by fame and glory, for God's sake. He will stay. He looks like he does stay. Whether he is quite battle hardened enough is another matter, but I think he will have learnt plenty then. And he's obviously done it in a big field. So, you know, there's plenty to like about him. And he's obviously done it on good ground as well. And, you know, he looks to me like he might want it a bit softer, which, you know, you never know, we might end up getting.
Yeah, indeed. We'll move on to a horse now that I think I'm hoping someone will tip up, because I really like him anyway. And that's Listnergar Oscar, who won at Haydock, winning the race that Brindisi Breeze at last won in 2012. He went on to win the Albert Bartlett, of course. Rebecca Curtis trained him. She trained at Fisher's Cross to win this race as well. So he looks pretty solid. He's had quite a lot of racing. And although some of his form doesn't look that impressive, he's improving. And there's also a horse that actually finished behind him at Chepstow that I'm really interested in. So Listnergar Oscar, come in for support, Darren, after his win at the weekend.
Yeah, he is now a 7-1 shot from, I think, 10s. I was very, very impressed at the weekend for a number of reasons. Like, I think Ask Ben is class. I think he really is a good horse, and he set him a good sight to go and aim at, and he really went about going to get him. He put the race to bed very, very quickly. He relished the trip. He jumps well. He travels well. And most importantly, he stays well. All of this now is a massive form boost to Rock Point, seeing as Listnergar Oscar and Aspen did finish 1-2, but he's obviously not going here. But no, I'd be a fan of Listnergar Oscar now after the weekend.
Yeah, Jimmy, impressed?
Very impressed. He's clearly improving, isn't he? I mean, he won that very impressively indeed, and that's a good trial as well for the festival, that race. Just question the form, that's the only thing I'd say. I mean, Ask Ben's not a bad horse, but Cateson was very disappointing. He clearly didn't run his race. And Stony Mountain, I don't think he's really a three-miler at this stage. So a few others disappointed in behind. But, I mean, he has run in the right races, Listnergar Oscar. Ran in that race at Cheltenham, the Bristol in December, and this race as well. I mean, both those races have been good trials for this, and I would say he's the most solid of the British contenders at this stage.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. Keels, I mean, you spoke earlier about how you want a horse to be battle-hardened. You know, when he finished behind Rock Point, he didn't look like he was going to set the world alight, but that's not always what you need for this sort of race, is it? You just need a horse that goes out and does it.
No, he didn't then, and it is also a boost for Rock Point, who was fairway behind him at Haydock on Saturday, but is going to end up running in the race and going to end up being a massive price. And there's a horse that's run a million times. And, you know, I think the average SP of the winner of this race is 16-1 when it's like 9-2 for the Ballymore. Like, you know, I mean, it's completely different. So don't be surprised if Rock Point turns up at Cheltenham and runs a much, much better race. I mean, he actually beat Listnergar Oscar quite easily. Now, obviously, Listnergar Oscar has improved since. Rock Point seems to have gone backwards, but Kilbrickenstone was beaten further in his prep for Cheltenham than Rock Point was. I mean, that's, you know, this is the sort of race it is, so don't rule anything out. He looked very, very good. I mean, Rebecca Curtis has had a few Cheltenham winners. She knows what it does to take them there, and, you know, they've all been stayers as well, I think. And I think you have to give him fair amount of respect. And I know that also you were talking about that you were half interested from Chepstow, but if Dickie Diver wins, that's give up but time, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? That is the completely wrong. One run over hurdles.
I know, I'm sort of hoping he'll run again, but I don't know. And I'm not sure whether he's, I mean...
Well, he'll need more, mind you.
He needs more experience, doesn't he? He still looked very green at Chepstow, but he was miles better than Lysnagar Oscar, wasn't he?
Well, he was, but, well... But was he? When Lysnagar Oscar put his head down, didn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the,
you
that's know, you the know thing. What I mean? I'm that's not 100% sure about his
different.
Attitude.
I mean, yeah, if you're not sure about an attitude of a horse, then a horse who's had one run and is only 10-1 for a face like the Albert Bartlett, you've got to be bonkers. Although, it has to be said, Paddy's, what is it, fifth favourite, hasn't even run over hurdles yet. So what's going on
exactly,
there?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. The trouble is, I mean, this is the season of the light campaign, isn't it? There are so many horses going into the festival that have run only once or twice, some not at all. I mean, if there's any year where you're going to get an inexperienced horse winning a race like this, it could be this year.
It could be a year where it reverts the type and everyone focuses on the short priced, lightly raced types. But you know, when it turns up the race and there's 20 runners, they have no idea what to do. That's the problem, because it'll be the fastest run race they've ever run in. They're just not used to it.
Yeah, I sort of think Dickie Diver, as much as I've liked him, he is very much one for the future, I think. But I do think he's got the ability. That's the main thing. I think he's got a lot of ability. So just want to note. Who else do we want to mention? I'm going to open up the floor a little bit now because we've got all sorts on this. Alaho, who won the Clonmel Group 3 the other week. Darren Ross, who's a really nice, likeable horse, another Irish horse. Won a Grade 3 at Cork and a Grade 2 at Limerick. We've got Downtown Getaway, who won narrowly at Ascot for Nicky Henderson. Easy Game, I don't know if he'll go there. A Mullins horse who's done a lot of winning. Jimmy, who do you want to talk about?
Well, last year's festival was run on desperate ground. I think if there's one race, highly unlikely we're going to get ground like that this year. I have to say, it's been so dry. But
you never know with the weather.
You never know. If there's one race I would like last year's conditions to happen this year again, it would be in this race, because I'd be all over Darren Ross. I mean, he just has the right sort of profile to me. He's an eight-year-old, meets Kielce's test of, you know, having at least five starts over hurdles, looks a dour stayer. Older horses, when the ground is on the soft side, have a very good record in this. I think three of the five runnings, when the word's been soft in the going description, have gone to seven-year-olds. I think 2010, the year, it poured with rain. I mean, it said it was good ground, but you only have to watch it to realise it was soft. That was won by Bertie's Dream, who's a seven-year-old. So that is a time to look for these kind of older staying types, you know, real dour grinders. And watching Darren Ross in his two runs this season, including that Grade 2 at Limerick, which is a really good trial for this, he would be ideal.
Yeah, just before I sort of give everyone else free range as well, one we haven't mentioned is Relegate, who finished behind Commander of Fleet last time. Didn't jump very well, but obviously former champion bumper winner last year. Looked as if she'll really love this step up in trip. Darren, any thoughts on Relegate?
Yeah, she's one that will 100% improve for the trip. They can't go hard enough for her up front, and the further the better. I think it was just that's what caught her out the last day. Like, she was a real eye catcher. All the shrewdies were talking about her afterwards. She was close at the finish at Leopardstown in that race, won by Commander of Fleet. And the market really came for her that day as well. She ended up going off favourite. She does need to jump better.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, as you said there yourself. And she'd be dangerous getting the mare's allowance, and I certainly wouldn't be rushing to rule her out, especially with the course form that she has.
Kiels, what do you think of Relegate? Do you think just needs to jump better and you're discounting her?
She probably needs soft ground as well. I think she'd be better on soft ground. I mean, obviously, it slows some of the others up as well, because she is going to stay forever. I would echo absolutely every single word that James said about Darren Ross. If it is soft ground, that is the one I am going to be smashing up. Without a doubt, he just looks he looks battle hardened. He's running big fields. Last
great big,
you know,
horse, isn't he?
Season. Yeah, he's a big horse. He wants, you know, the deeper the better, and he might be very hard to beat if he gets those conditions. If he doesn't, well, I mean, I've been nibbling away at Rockpoint at massive prices. I'm just ignoring that Haydock run and hoping that he comes back to somewhere near his Cheltenham form, because, you know, he's a horse who's had a million runs. He is tough. I don't know what happened to him. He was a monster drifter on Saturday. I don't know what happened to him. He looked like he was dropping out the telly, then he ran on. It's a strange bit of form, might not be the most trustworthy in the world. But I think, you know, if the horse comes back to what he was showing at Cheltenham, he'd be a fair bit better than that, and he'll be a massive price. I mean, you know, this is not the sort of race I'm going to be going, you know, proper lumping in, because it's just not that sort of race for me. You get a turn up virtually every year. You just have to have a look at the last four or five years: 33, 16, 11, 14, 33. That's the last 5 years again, and you can go in there and you can have horses that you think, oh, I really like this one. It's a strong favourite. There's been a strong favourite virtually every year. Like, you know what I mean? And they just, you know, it's not a race for stepping in really short for me.
You talk about Rock Point, and obviously he's had the course win. A lot of the Irish obviously haven't had Cheltenham experience. Is that something you really value in this race, or do you think it's sort of irrelevant?
It's one of those things. Once you've seen a horse that handles the track, I mean, they become sort of semi-more attractive anyway, don't they? Because some horses aren't going to. Well, you know, we get that every, you know, we get that every year. There'll be the occasional few horses that you think, oh, it just doesn't handle Cheltenham. Like, you know what I mean? So once you know a horse does, it's obviously, you know, another tick in the box. I mean, it's not something to go mental over. But, you know, a fair few of the British winners, I think they had run at Cheltenham. Obviously, Bobsworth ran there loads of times.
You
know what I mean, Harry, yeah. So, you know, and I think a couple of early ones, James, your old man's horse, Nenya Farcolon's won this, didn't he?
He did, and he'd won at Cheltenham before.
So if you've got a bit of Cheltenham form that's good and reasonably solid, I think that helps for a British contender anyway.
Okay, we'll go back to Darren. Darren, we were talking a lot about Darren Ross. Seems to be a bit of love for him. Any other Irish horses you want to mention?
Yeah, I'll just touch on Darren Ross. I think he is probably quite smart, and I think he'll be smarter again when he doesn't have to make his own running, which is what he's had to do over here for the last couple of times, because nothing could go with him. I do think, he is probably ground dependent is the only issue. Alaho for Willie Mullins, obviously very interesting, and I get the impression he's very highly thought of. Like, just between Willie's comments afterwards, where he said he was effectively disgusted with him after his bumper debut, and the fact he just threw him into a graded hurdle, like, that's not Willie Mullins like behaviour. The negatives, I suppose, is the horse in second
Is that very strong?
Yeah, I mean, he'll end up probably not top class. He ran all right in an okay bumper at Punchestown the back end of last year, and he's been okay over hurdles so far, but the other horses in behind aren't exactly top class either, like Moscovite. For all this was impressive, that race alone isn't enough to convince me he's top class. I want to touch on Dickie Diver, because I know the lads are against him, but unusually for me, I'm actually fairly fond of him. I think he's absolutely class. Yeah, no,
you're
I think he's class.
You're agreeing with me for once.
No, I think he's class. Honestly, I think it was just greenness that beat him that day. Now, obviously, look, you do want to see him again, but the form of that race is working out so, so well. Like, even Breaking Waves went in yesterday, and he was well beaten back in sixth. Experience is probably likely to catch him out here if he does go here, but I'd like to see him go somewhere. And if it's not here, maybe the Ballymore might suit better.
Yeah.
But no, I'd be a huge fan of him. I think he's near enough. I don't want to say he's the best that the novice hurdlers JP has for this year, but I think with more experience, he'll be seen to be up there.
Yeah, that's a big shout. I know they thought of a lot of him after he won his point-to-point, but we'll be interesting to see if he can prove that he is totally straightforward and that was just greenness. That's what I'm hoping anyway. Where do we go with this race? There's so many at massive prices. Jimmy, anything that we've got in the 16-1 bar category interest you at all?
Not really. I think... apart from Lisnagar Oscar, the British, in my opinion, I'm not a fan of Birchdale. I don't really have anything to get too excited about. I mean, the Irish had the first seven of the top nine in the bumper last year. That was a bit of a freakish staying race for the bumper, and I expect those types of horses to run here. So I would expect Ireland will hold the upper hand. Downtown Getaway is a horse I liked. He was second to a good horse of Philip Hobbs at Newbury, and I thought he actually won of a... I know he only just won at Ascot, but probably won of a touch up his sleeve that day. Looking at his breeding, looks like he might stay a bit further and will handle the better ground. Nicky Henderson's horses tended to run quite well in this, so he could go well at an each-way price.
So, Darren, any in the 16-1 or bigger category that you want to mention?
Yes, so there's four horses here I'd just like to touch on really quickly.
Four.
Yeah, well, one is not 16-1, one is carefully selected. I think Brendan Duke is pulling his hair out at the moment because by my reckoning he's missed about 79 engagements this year. He is entered in the maiden hurdle on Wednesday, so hopefully we'll see him. And on last year's bumper form, he would be somewhat interesting. And then of the others in just the bigger price bracket, we'll call it, Animix has an entry here. He's of obvious interest. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend backing him or anything like that. We do want to see him again, but he just could be a potential interesting one. And then there's two that I'd be very, very sweet on at big prices. One is the Cashelman, who has since joined Nicky Henderson. He's obviously a very good flat stayer. I think he was given a very easy time, but we'll call it, to finish second behind Pym the last day, and I honestly think he could have won. He didn't jump particularly well either, and more experience will see him to better light, but his flat rating alone puts him into a race like this, especially if the ground is good. And then there's one of Willie Mullins's Fast Buck. Not too many will be familiar with him. We've only seen him once. He was second behind Fakir Duder. He's given him over a stone down in Cork. And in behind him that day was also Emily Moon. He looked like a horse who'll improve a stone for going up and trip. That was over 2 miles. His pedigree is all staying. And if we've seen him again, I'd really, really hope he runs here. Like, we are non-runner, no bet, and we're 16s on him. I wouldn't put anyone off having a bet at that, because he just struck me as the type of horse that, right, fair enough, he doesn't have bags of experience, but that form with Fakir Duderese is obviously working out brilliantly, and the fact he is going to improve for a step up and trip, he could be a great price at 16s.
Okay, brilliant. And Keels?
Yeah, there are loads. I mean, if you have a look at Racing Post ratings, there was more than 20 horses within £7 of the top rated. That's how close it is. And there are loads of big prices that have the right profile. Dinans, Gordon Elliott's Dinans, won a million times earlier in the season, including smashed up Dename Evaze Me by 14 lengths at Cheltenham in October. Dename Evaze Me was second in a Class 2 handicap to Opus E Swan later in the season. That's good form. He's right up there. He's a big price. You've got I.I. Charlie, who I think he ran in the race last year. He's had so many runs. He's actually got decent bits of form. He was fourth to Black Op in a Grade 1 last year at a big price, only beating 4.5 lengths. No, sorry, he was seventh to Sam Crow last year in the Ballymore. Mm. And obviously he's been running behind some decent horses. He was sixth to Paisley Park in the Cleve. He's got a shot. There's a ex flat horse that I thought would be really soft and have no chance whatsoever, but suddenly bounded away at Doncaster, won the River Don. I know it was only a 4-runner race, but he won by 22 lengths.
Was that Nade Attack?
Nade Attack, yeah. I mean, you know, and again, he, like Penhill, had a million runs on the flat. He hasn't had quite so many, but again, he's battle hardened in big fields from the flat, so he'd be half interested. And I mean, one of the horses I'm most interested in, no one's mentioned, I doubt he'll go here. I actually think shorter the better, but that would be Sam's Profile.
Mm.
Now, oh my word, I mean, everyone goes on about how good Battle Over Doyen has done, but if Sam Profile had jumped and not been hampered, he'd have won. He'd have beat him last time. He's a very, very good horse. Just needs to learn a little bit about jumping. But if he does, I mean, when they quickened up in that race, he absolutely flew the last two. So I think, you know, he raced really, really keenly in the early doors and he missed out virtually every hurdle. But if he learns to jump and if he is just better at a faster pace, then Sam's Profile for Mouse Morris is a very, very interesting horse wherever it goes.
Okay, we've covered plenty of bases then. It's time for the best bets. Now, one selection, one winner from each of you, and then one other bet would be brilliant. Jimmy, I'll go to you first.
Well, I'll be hoping for some rain come the Friday, because I'll be very keen on Darren Ross if that's okay, so he'll be my selection for now. Listener Gar Oscar, I'd say, is the best of the British.
Okay, brilliant. And Keels?
Soft, Darren Ross, I'll back Rock Point, and I'll probably have a couple of quid on Dinons as well.
Okay, excellent. And Darren?
Commander of Fleet would be my main bet here, Maddie, but if I was having an each way scout at the race, it'd be Fast Buck for Willie Mullins.
Fantastic. Join us after the break, where we'll start on the champion bumper.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Cheltenham Anti-Postcast. It's time to review the champion bumper now. What can we say about this race? Cheveley Park, known for their horses on the flat, seems to have taken a really keen interest in the jumps and particularly the bumper scene this season. The market's headed by Envoy Allen. Darren, we'll go over to you now for a full show.
Yeah, sure thing. So Envoy Allen is indeed our 3-1 favourite. Blue Sari then is 4-1. Black Bow is 7s. Sempo is 10s. Abacadabras and Master Debonair are 12-1. Ask for Glory is 14s and we are 16s bar.
Brilliant. So before we just go into it, we want to say Malone Road, as far as we can tell, he's out. He's not going to run. Lots of people I know keen to find out about him. Darren looked a real talent, but he's injured. And as far as we know, he's not going to go for this.
Yeah, it's looking fairly certain he's not rocking up. I know we took him out of the betting, and I think the last update from Gordon was that it's highly, highly unlikely we'll see him even again this year, much less at the Cheltenham Festival.
Right.
Like, what he'd done to date, just his speed. I go back and watch it every so often. I haven't seen a bumper horse with that turn of foot ever.
No.
Ever. He's just so, so fast. Whether the undulations and the track of Cheltenham is going to suit him down to the ground, I don't know. But like, he hadn't put a foot wrong so far, and it would have been a brave person to oppose him on the day.
Yeah, I must admit, if you sort of said to me you have Malone Road fit and healthy, or you have Envoy Allen, who would you pick? I'd pick Malone Road. But anyway, he's not turning up, so we won't get into that. Let's talk about the favourite. I'm beaten in three, also won a point to point. Jimmy, how impressed were you last time?
Impressed enough. I mean, he looks a tough customer. Which is good for a race like this. It's always helpful if you've got one that's battle-hardened. That Leopardstown race he won, I think that's quite a good pointer to the champion bumper. The form's obviously as good as anything around. I did think he was pretty much all out to win it, so I don't think we can expect that much improvement from him. But I think that sort of form sets the standard.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but I was sort of expecting him to be a bit more impressive. What do you reckon, Darren? I know he went wide, and I know he was given sort of a bit of a deliberate ride, but I thought he'd storm away, but he sort of stuck on.
To be honest with you, I was kind of happy to see him do what he did. I thought he was sent for home plenty soon, didn't have the absolute best trip throughout, and you know, a lot of horses would have down tools there now and kind of, you know, would have let themselves be passed. But he really kept pulling out more and more. So far, so good. I mean, like, he's run around Navan, which would give you massive hope for Cheltenham. I mean, like, if a horse can get around Navan, he can get around Cheltenham, as far as I'm concerned. Look, it's boring enough, but I actually think there's juice in the price of threes. I haven't seen anything that I think is going to threaten him as yet. Now, maybe Willie Mullins has the second coming sitting at home in his shed, but until now, up to now, I haven't seen anything as good as this lad, that Bar Malone role, but he's obviously not running.
Okay. Keels, Chiefly Park, we speak about them, and lots of horses coming into this having won point to points and things like that. What do you think a race like the Champion Bumper means for the future? Would you be worried about, you know, connections pushing horses too early?
No. There have been some cracking bumpers, haven't there, over the years. I mean, you just think back to the one Q-Card. You know, Q-Card beats Alpha Off. You know what I mean? I mean, those two horses went on and won a lot of races.
Great longevity, yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously, you get some that are, you know, you think, oh my God, how did that ever win that race? Like, you know what I mean? And again, it could be a case of some horses are ready, some horses are not. Horses improve at different rates. And this is the thing, you know, this is for me. As a punter, if you have a really, really strong opinion over what wins the bumper, you need to go back to school and learn all about betting all over again. It's not that sort of race. You don't know. Willie Mullins doesn't know. Gordon Elliott doesn't know. Look what happened last year. Willie Mullins, who's I think he's won this nine times now. He's the most brilliant trainer of bumper horses ever. He had five horses in the race. They all finished in the first seven, yet the winner wasn't even third favourite. You know what I mean? It was 25-1, fourth favourite of the Mullins five. Like, you know what I mean? So please, do not get worked up over having a lump on something short in a bumper. If you like Envoy Allen, if you're lumping on Envoy Allen, then what on earth are you doing not thinking about having a decent each way bet on a horse that was second to it, Meticulous, who's 20, you know, more than six times the price, is only a length and a quarter, only the third run of his life, and second, you know, in the last 6 months, by Fame and Glory, Ascot Gold Cup winner, out of Refinement, who I think didn't she run in this race once, maybe even twice, and be placed in placed in three or four Cheltenham Festivals. Refinement was, that's the sort of bet I'd be looking at, not a 3-1 shot, surely.
Okay, I'm going to give Darren time to respond to that because that was quite scathing. But I will say, when you mentioned former bumper winners, I still miss that Fayoni, you know. I think she really would have been something special. So, you know, you are right.
You never know, though. I mean, Dunguib looked like an absolute tool, didn't it? And I don't think a bumper horse has ever run bigger than, I think, well, we gave it a 151 RPR and a bumper, which is just ludicrous. But then look what happened. Couldn't get out of his own way over hurdles, could he?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And to be honest, what did Fiona beat? Who knows? We'll see. Darren, anyway, what do you reply to Keels?
Oh, Jesus, no, like, there's no reply needed. Like, I 100% see where Paul is coming from. And am I suggesting anyone should have their biggest bet in the festival in the fucking Champion Bumper? Absolutely not. No, it's just, in terms of the context of this race, do I think 3-1 is a fair price on Envoy LN? Based on what we've seen so far, yes. Is it highly possible that you know, something else could come out of the woodwork or something could improve past him. It is highly possible. Do I think it's, you know, do I think 3-1 is fair that won't happen? Yes, I do.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move on to Blue Sari then. Kiel's mentioned that Willie Mullins has a great record in the race. It seems that's his number one hope so far, as we can see. Won by 11 lengths at Goran last time. Really impressively. What's that form worth, Darren, do you think?
Yeah, a few bits on this lad. Like, he looked good day one, but I'd have a few worries. The form, yes. I mean, like, it's hard to say. It's a bit annoying because the horse that was in second front view was brought down when, I don't know, like, he looked to be travelling all right, but he'd been shuffled back through the pack. He'd lost a few places just in the back straight, and he was obviously brought down then in his next race. And the comments afterwards from Willie were kind of, they wouldn't exactly set you alight. Now, he basically said he's a slow-out boat at home, and he didn't expect him to go and do that. And Goran threw up a few funny results that day because there was a massive bias towards the stands rail, which where Blue Sari came, and a couple other horses stuck to the inside. And last but not least then, Willie said he's probably not the likeliest to go here because he rarely goes to the festival with four-year-old bumper horses, and that there's a race in Limerick for four-year-old horses, a bumper, that he is more likely to go to. Now, he also said that looking around Ireland, there doesn't appear to be too much danger for the champion bumper, so he may well send him here. But just a note of caution, now, we are non-runner, no bet, obviously, but that could free up value in the market elsewhere. Personally, I would be surprised if he's as good as Envoyelin. That's just my opinion on it.
Okay. Kiehl's, now I know you're sort of loath to tip up anything in the top half of this market. Blue Sari, what were your impressions at least last time?
Well, I mean, he obviously looked very good. And while Willie said he wasn't very good, apparently Patrick Mullins was telling everybody he was going to win. You know, so
yeah,
it's one of those. Because I remember reading that, didn't I? I think, didn't DJ David Jennings do a
column?
Yeah,
his big read, yeah.
And he bolted up. And I thought, I did think the horse that he beat, Front View, was travelling really nicely when he got brought down and might have won, although I'm not sure how good that bump, that second bumper was. He was obviously favourite again, so, you know, we don't know. But again, it's 4-1. It's one of those, you know, I'll have 2 tenner bets in this race and that'll be it, sort of thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's certainly not one for going mad.
Okay, Jimmy?
I was very impressed. I thought visually he looked really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I'm not really sure what the form is worth, and it's an interesting point Darren makes there about the stands rail bias. I mean, they were found right across the track that day, but I thought he picked up really well. I think, you know, in terms of form, I probably wouldn't be interested in taking the price that he's at, but yeah, he certainly has to be respected, especially given the connections.
Where's Blackbow, Darren, do we know?
Jesus, on his holidays. I haven't a clue, to be honest with you. It's very weird with him. Like, I don't know how many entries he's even had this year, and it'd be a bit of a shame to see him come back here again, but at least we'd know he's alive anyhow. I don't know. I haven't a clue.
Yeah, okay. Andy Dufresne then, what about him? Interesting story behind this horse, and he looked good at Dam Royal.
Yeah, so just for anyone that mightn't be aware, I think it's Gordon Elliott's head girl, I think it's Camilla Sharples is her name.
Yeah.
She bought this lad for about $3,000, ran him in a point-to-point, trained him herself, and sold him to JP, or sold him through the ring, and JP bought him for $330,000. And I think her plan was to go and buy a house afterwards. So that's a lovely story, in fairness. Look, he came with a massive reputation, and he couldn't do anything more than what he did at Down Royal that day. Now, how strong the form is, I don't know. We haven't seen any of them since, barred the horse in fifth, who I think has been well-beaten since. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him again. I don't even know whether they'll send him to the champion bumper, to be honest. I think Gordon was kind of iffy on it afterwards, but were he to turn up, he'd obviously be very interesting, especially given his connections.
Yeah, maybe more of a long-term target, Jimmy?
I think so. I mean, he looked pretty green to me that day. I mean, won very comfortably, head in his chest. I'm not sure the form's worth much, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him here. He looks a horse very much for the future, very exciting. Wouldn't want to be going into...
Didn't Gordon do a Twitter Q&A Betfair and say that his only guaranteed runner at the moment was Envoyelin anyway? I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Sounds right.
Yeah, okay. Well, in which case, we'll move on then from Andy Dufresne. Sempo is next on my list for Joseph O'Brien. Then we've got Master Debonair for Colin Tizard. Abracadabras, who, of course, fell through the rail behind Envoy Allen when challenging. Ask for Glory, Mount Leinster, who's been disappointing. Eden De Ho for the Pipes. And Santa Rosa, who also won at the Dublin Racing Festival. Darren, who do you want to mention and talk about from those or indeed not from those lists?
So I'll touch on Sempo there for a second. Like, Jesus, he was punted off the boards the last day of Thurles. Now, again, what he beat, I do not know. But I think he was, like, threes in the morning and they backed him right down to 11-8, and he won with his mouth open like by 15 lengths. You'd have to be impressed by that, but is a champion bumper winning for him? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't think anybody
it's hard,
knows.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, after that, then you're looking down the list. The horse there, Santa Rosa, for Dermot McLaughlin, a mare, and she's done well now. She won a bumper at Fairy House just before Christmas at a big price, but she came out then and won a Grade Two bumper after Christmas with Finney Maguire on her back, and she did it well. She well backed as well.
Was that the bumper that Relegate won?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was indeed. Yeah, it was indeed. Again, I'm just looking down the list here, and there's just I'm getting it hard to be overly inspired by Ant, and hence my enthusiasm for Envoy Elaine earlier on, because nothing else is really getting me going looking at this race.
Okay, that's interesting. I was sort of keeping half an eye on Ass for Glory. I don't know if he'll go for this, but a Chepstow winner from Paul Nichols Keels. Did you think much of him?
Yeah, I thought he was okay. Yeah, I'm actually trying to pretend I know more about this than I do by looking at the Cheltenham Festival Betting Guide book, because I had to do profiles for these horses, and I couldn't even actually remember who I put up as my guest tip. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's
terrible.
You know what I mean? It's awful, really. But yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he looked really good. There's quite a few here by Fame and Glory in this race. I mean, he's obviously gonna get them plenty of stamina, and they'll probably be tough as well, won't they? They you know, and Ask for Glory is one of them, and he did look pretty good. I remember Harry Derham said he's definitely not a plodder, but again, he's a long, you know, he's seen as a long-term chaser. So whether he goes, you don't know. You've got Glory and Fortune to Tom Lacey.
I don't think he's going to go.
Another one. He's probably, yeah, exactly. And then you know, so there's one. You know, you just keep going and looking down, and think what. You know, what is going to run in the race. But then don't be afraid of taking a chance. We've got to remember, Q Card had a race post rating of 110 going into the race and was 40-1. You know, he improved 2 stone in one hit. You know, and again, just look at the winner since 2010. 40-1, 14-1, 16-1, 25-1, 16-1. Then you get 3 shorties, 9-2, 5s and 7s, and then back to type last year with 25s. It's literally one of those races. We don't know how good any of these horses are going to be.
You've got to make us at least sound like we know what we're talking about.
I hate lying to people, and you know, for me, trying to come across as an expert in a race like a bumper is just complete fraud. I mean, my guess would be meticulous, purely because he looked tough, he looked improving, and he's a length and a quarter behind the horse that everybody's raving about, Envoy Allen. So, you know, at 6 times the price, that is the one I would back.
Okay.
For Harry Fry, lads, you might be more familiar with him than me. King Roland.
Yes,
of your Toxler bumper, again, punted off the boards by 22 lengths, pretty much on the snap. Now, we haven't seen Anton from in behind it yet. Well, sorry, the second round in Maiden Hurdle and was beaten into 6. But, like, just visually, he looked good and he's 16-1 there. But, yeah, that's the only one from the English that kind of jumps out at me now, to be honest.
Yeah, he did look good. Eden De Ho won a listed race at Ascot. Jimmy, did you see that? Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, not bad. I mean,
he didn't sort of massively impress, but it's always sort of a good guide, that race.
Yeah, they kind of finished a little bit in a heap there, didn't they? I think that's the race I'm thinking of. I have looking this morning at all the British bumpers, not many horses impressed me. A lot of them were, you know, finishing quite close together. That horse of Colin Tizzard's that won at Cheltenham.
Master Debonair, we need to mention him. I mean,
they finished fairly close together there. I wasn't getting as many impressive winners as I was looking at the Irish bumpers. I mean, I was very impressed by the 4-year-old of Tom Lacey's, who you said is going to go to Aintree.
Glory and Fortune.
I was getting quite excited about him, but then I saw he was a 4-year-old. And I mean, the only 4-year-old who's won in the last 25 years, I think, is Q Card, which says it all. So that puts me off slightly. If I had to put up one horse at a biggish price, it would be the mare Santa Rosa. Won the same race at Relegate, won last year. I just think just seems to be, in jumps races in particular, these mares and fillies are getting better and better and better. And I'm not really that surprised, therefore, that Relegate won last year. Because she was a mare, I wasn't that surprised by that fact. Because I just think, you know, the class of the distaff is just improving all the time. And I don't think that form was too bad. And if she improves on that, she could be a contender here.
Okay, right. Let's go to your best bets then. Jimmy, a winner and another bet from you.
I would have to stick with Envoy Allen, I think. It's just... I know Keels will grunt at that, but he just sets the standard. And it's difficult to get that excited about anything in behind, given the form they've shown. Santa Rosa would be my one at a bigger price.
Okay, Keels.
Yeah, I mean, for me, at the price is meticulous. Just shapes as though a stronger run race will suit. And, you know, if you're a length of the quarter behind a 3-1 favourite, you shouldn't be 20-1.
Okay, fair enough. And Darren?
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with James. Envoy Alain, I just think he sets a fairly high standard for the year that's in it. And if I was having another best, just one we didn't touch on is Abacadabras, who actually ran out behind him at Leopardstown over Christmas.
Yes.
Or sorry, after Christmas, the Dublin Racing Festival. Looked to be running a decent race and another one that could improve again. But yeah, it's a tepid enough out selection because it's just an impossible race to pick at this stage.
Okay, fantastic. That brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget to join us next week where hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be looking at some of the Cheltenham Festival handicaps. It's going to be exciting to get stuck into those. And we have our regular racing postcast this week. Yesterday, we looked at the bumper card at Ascot and all the action over the weekend. And on Friday, we'll be looking ahead to the weekend's action again at Kempton, Lingfield and Newcastle. So make sure to join us for those.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.